हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभं व्यास शंकर मध्यमं अस्मदाचार्य पर्यंतं वंदे गुरु परंपरां श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ भद्रं कर्णे भिश्रुणुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागंसस्तनुभिः व्यशेमदेवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः प्रज्ञानां शुप्रतानि स्थिरचरनिकरव्यापिभिर्व्याप्य लोकान् भुक्त्वा भोगान्स्तविष्ठान् पुनरपि धिषणोद्भासितान् कामजन्यान् पीत्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् सपिति मधुरभुङ् मायया भोजयन्नो माया सङ्ख्यातुरीयम् परममृतमजम् ब्रह्म यत्तन्नतोऽस्मि यो विश्वात्मा विधिज विषयान् प्राश्य भोगान्स्तविष्ठान् पश्चाच्चान्यान् समति विभवान् ज्योतिषास्वेन सूक्ष्मान् सर्वानेतान् पुनरपि शनै स्वात्मनि स्थापयित्वा हित्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् विघटगुणगणः पात्वसौ नस्तुरीयः
Class, a subtle point we understood is all the days here is Ishwara, here is Ishwara. Otherwise, others here is only Brahma. What is only the non-dual reality, Brahma or Atma. To say that all that is as only non-dual reality, we must be able to see all that is here in countless forms is nothing but projections of the only vastu, appearances of the only vastu, only reality. Appearances of the only reality means all these are just projections of the only reality. Projection means nothing but manifestations of the power of knowing belonging to the reality. Therefore, the inseparable, as the unmanifested power is inseparable, the manifested power in the form of world of forms, names and functions is also inseparable, because what we see as a gross object, a subtle object, is nothing but knowledge. Knowledge of the existence of the self, knowledge of the existence of the world, knowledge of desires, knowledge of all subtle phenomena, jealousy, hatred, anger, fear. When you say jealousy is, means what? Knowledge of jealousy is. Fear is, means knowledge of fear is. Existence of anything and everything presupposes knowledge. But when you say everything is, means knowledge is. So knowledge of desires is, knowledge of actions is, knowledge of accessories is, knowledge of results of actions is, knowledge of everything is. Everything is because knowledge of everything is. Knowledge of everything is means what? This manifestation of the knowledge of everything is. That manifestation of knowledge of everything is means the power of knowing is in the form of manifestation of the knowledge, which means the source. Okay? Therefore, everything is means the knowledge of everything is. Knowledge of everything is means this manifestation of manifestations of knowledge of everything is, which means the power of knowing is in the form of knowledge, and the source of the power of knowing alone is in the form of everything. Therefore, all that is here is only Brahma. There's no second thing other than reality, absolutely. Even though what is experienced is countless, the world is of innumerable countless forms, names and functions, subtleness, subtle and gross, inexplicably vast. Still, this can be reduced to one word, idam, and sarvam idam brahmaiva. This only is Brahma. That Brahma Ahamasmi. Therefore, I, the consciousness, am the existence. Therefore, I, Brahma, am here. I am the Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi. This should be the final vision. Okay? This was very beautiful yesterday. Something, it can be again and again elaborated, the mantra. One karika, something very profound. Okay, now we are entering into the new karika today. Eighteenth karika. You know, this misconception, erroneous perception, erroneous knowledge, false knowledge is what? Vikalpaha. Vikalpaha literally means division also. Vikalpaha means erroneous perception, misconception. Vikalpa. So, we understood it is the Maya manifested is half knowledge. Half knowledge. And this half knowledge what? And half ignorance also is there. Therefore, the Maya contributes for the rising of half knowledge. And because of half knowledge, the half ignorance being there, results in ajnanam. The half knowledge, half ignorance results in vikalpaha. So, vikalpaha is otherwise called what? Adhyasaha. Erroneous perception. Vikalpaha is the word. Technically, it's called adhyasaha. So, This ignorance of what is. Ignorance of the knowledge, knowledge of is there, isn't it? I am, the universe is. Knowledge of the existence of the self and the world is. What is not there? What this knowledge is. What I am, what this universe is, that knowledge is not there. And it is this partial ignorance. With the partial knowledge alone, he said to be what? It's like the manda andhakaraha, dimness of light. And which contributes for what? Vikalpaha aradhyasaha. Okay. So, ajnanam results in vikalpaha. So, what is vikalpaha? So, seeing, perceiving something to be other than what it is. If you see the rope as rope, it is jnanam. If you see the rope as snake, it is vikalpa. And then, there is anadi mula avidya. There's a beginningless mula avidya called maya. There's also jivaha. And here, this ignorance being not total, ignorance is not total, being partial, there are many vikalpaha, many misconceptions, erroneous perception, errors in the perceptions, vikalpaha. Therefore, according to the Shastram, any notion, every notion one entertains about oneself, sometimes after others also, the standpoint of absolute reality definitely is a vikalpaha, an error only. Therefore, and so many vikalpas. Of course, ignorance contributes for vikalpas. But there are also different people of different schools of thought, different thinkers. In spite of being given to thinking, because using only reasoning as the means of knowledge, they have their own limitations in arriving at the reality. Therefore, still they also have vikalpas. They also have error in their perceptions of things. Anyway, so here, what is said in this following verse? There is sadvastu, absolute reality, ultimate truth, and this is abstract, formless reality. Abstract, formless reality. And the reality has to be understood only in terms of its nature of knowing. That's why we say the pure knowledge is the nature of the reality. So, what Acharya says, there's ignorance of what this reality is. The absolutely what is the reality. Now, what is the char is means what? Knowledge of char is means relatively what is char is, window is, everything is, you are, I am. It's all relatively, we all relatively exist in forms, names and functions. And unreal. Absolutely what is not known. How, when what is rope is not known, the ignorance of the rope itself veils the rope, thereby the perception of snake, erroneous perception of snake is possible. Similarly here, what is absolutely is this reality. The ignorance of the reality veils the reality. What is? Therefore, there are vikalpas are possible. This reality is mistaken to be other than what it is. Which is vikalpaha. So, Acharya says, the knowledge of what is with reference to rope snake, ascertainment of what is rope itself is enough. The vikalpas will disappear. Which means after the ascertainment of what is rope, no effort, no second action is required to eliminate the vikalpas. Because ascertainment of what is rope itself is enough for all vikalpa, that there is a snake, to resolve. Jnanena alam. No other action, no other effort needs to follow the ascertainment to remove, eliminate the vikalpas. Similarly here, ascertainment of sadvastu. It's called vastu nischayaha. Vastu nischayaha is the word used by Acharya here, Gaurupada Acharya. Vastu nischayaha, ascertainment of the reality, obtaining as one's own self, in terms of its nature of pure consciousness, existence, itself is enough for all the vikalpas, for all the wrong attributes, erroneously superimposed upon Atma, to resolve. That is the fact revealed in this Karika. Let us see this Karika, because Acharya did not introduce this because he thinks it is. Shankara Bhagavatpada does not introduce this Karika. Gaudapada Acharya, we are going to read Karika directly.
Nischitayam yatha rajvam. Nischitayam yatha rajvam. Vikalpo vinivartate. Vikalpo vinivartate. Tate nischitayam yatha rajvam, nischitayam yatha rajvam, vikalpo vinivartate, rajjureveti chadvaitam, rajjureveti chadvaitam, tadvadatma vinischayaha. Atmavinischayaha rajjureveti chadvaitam, rajjureveti chadvaitam, tadvadatmavinischayaha, atmavinischayaha.
See, rajjuhu yeva iti yatha rajvam vinischitayam vikalpaha vinivartate tadvat atma vinischayaha. Just very few words to make it very clear. Yatha rajvam vinischita nischitayam, rajvam nischitayam, rajuhyeva iti. And there is, when the ascertainment of rope happens, rajvam nischitayam, hati saptami prayogaha, when ascertainment of rope happens, as this is rope only, what is only rope, thus, when the ascertainment of what is rope happens, then, vikalpaha vinivartate. This erroneous perception of snake goes away. Knowledge, the ignorance of the rope goes, along with the ignorance of the rope, ignorance caused vikalpa also goes away simultaneously. Isn't it? Then what happens? So, when the ascertainment of rope being rope happens, simultaneously ignorance goes, along with ignorance cause vikalpa also goes. So, the second effort is not required to kill the snake, to push the snake away. Similarly, then what has happened? Advaitam Rajjuhyeva iti Advaitam. Again, then there is only non-dual rope exists. Tadvate, similarly, in the same way, Atma Vinischayaha. Doubt-free ascertainment, clear ascertainment of the reality obtaining as one's own self happens when the clear doubt-free ascertainment of the reality obtaining as one's own self happens. All the vikalpas, countless number of vikalpas, all misconceptions, all wrong notions superimposed upon oneself, all of them will resolve simultaneously. Along with the ignorance of the self, ignorance cause vikalpas also will resolve. This is the content of this karika, nothing much. Okay. There's a beautiful sentence of Father Shankaracharya in his commentary. Only one sentence he states, that he only presents many quotations from beautiful quotes from very, very familiar quotes. We can enjoy these quotes because you're all exposed to his teaching. Just to reinforce the vision given by this karika. A fact revealed by this karika. Okay. See the bhashyam now. Rajjureveti nischaye. Rajjuhyeva iti nischaye. When there is confirmation, determination, conviction of what is his rope only. Simultaneously, when ignorance resolves, as a result of which, sarva vikalpa nivruttau, when all vikalpas, misconceptions, errors in perceptions also resolve, what happens? Rajjuhyeva iti cha advaitam. Then what remains? In the wake of the knowledge of rope being the rope, ignorance of the rope resolves. Along with ignorance of rope, the vikalpas caused by the ignorance also resolves simultaneously. Then, what remains is non-dual rope only. Why it's a non-dual rope? Because rope alone is. There's a second thing other than the rope. That is what is meant. Rajjuhye veticha advaitam. Jnanam siddhyati. Yatha, just as. Tatha. First, Acharya presents this very well-known page number. Okay, sorry, this karika itself is in page 374. And there's the whole English translation of the Bhashyam also is in the 374 only. Okay. Neti neti na iti na iti. This is a very popular quotation. Neti neti. Because this is what? This neti neti, these two words, of course this sentence, reveals what? Presents the Upanishad's unique method of negation. Okay. Indirectly arriving at the Atma through method of negation. That is what is revealed. So here, this neti neti, now this method, using Upanishad, using this method of negation, negating everything else other than the Atma, finally, Upanishad, what now? Upanishad reveals. Upanishad reveals the vastu. Pramanam works, so it reveals the vastu. Therefore, it is said, sarva samsara neti neti iti. How this particular statement gives the vision, it is that it is sarva samsara dharma shunya pratipadaka shastra janita vijnana suryaloka krita atma vinischayaha. The same way, atma vinischayaha, doubt-free, clear ascertainment of the reality obtaining as one's own self also. It happens, all the vikalpas simultaneously resolve along with the ignorance. So he says, this atma vinischayaha is like what? Surya vijnana surya aloka krita atma vinischayaha. Ascertainment of, doubt-free, clear ascertainment of the reality obtaining as one's own self is what now? This is the knowledge. So, vijnana surya loka krita atma vinischaya. That the ascertainment is made, is happened because of the knowledge. And what is the knowledge? Knowledge is here likened to the sun. When the sun shines, what happens? The sun shines, self-luminous sun shines. In the sunlight brings what is also to light. Sunlight brings what is to light. Not by doing something, by its mere presence. Similarly, here vijnanam is said to be like what now? Vijnanam is like the sun. So the light of knowledge, the light of the sun in terms of knowledge alone in view of this ascertainment of the Atma, and this knowledge is janitam, it is born of what? It is this knowledge which has risen from the Shastram. Shastra janita, it has risen from the Shastram. What is Shastram? Shastram which reveals Patipadet, which reveals the Atma being free from all attributes of samsara. Life of transmigration. Sarva samsara dharma shunyam pratipadayati. This Shastra teaching reveals the Atma being free from all the attributes pertaining to the life of transmigration. Samsara. How? Being the means of knowledge of, being the means of knowledge of the Atma. So, this firm ascertainment of the knowledge of the self, which happened as a result of this knowledge, which like the sunlight, which brings to light the fact that what? This knowledge, which has risen from knowledge shastram, which brings to light the nature of the Atma being free from all attributes associated with life of samsara. See, the thing is, what he says here, sun brings to light what is. This Atmajnanam also brings to light what is. What is? What is the nature of the reality. What is of reality? Being free from all attributes associated with life of samsara. That is the teaching here. So, sarva samsara dharma shunya pratipadaka shastra janita vijnana surya aloka krita atma vinischayaha. This knowledge, this ascertainment happens when the shastra pramanam is operated, such as these words, neti neti, etc. That's the teaching here. Then having said that, then when the ascertainment happens, what should be the vision? Chandogya Upanishad quotation. second mantra, the 24th, fifth section of the seventh chapter. Atma Vedam Sarvam, Atma Eva Idam Sarvam. Okay. See, one's ascertainment of the reality, obtaining as one's own self happens, then what should be the vision, what should be the perspective? The perspective should be, Atma Eva Idam Sarvam. All this is Atma only. All this is Atma only. All this Atma only means what? All this is knowledge. That is the idea. All this is Atma only. Then, further, once you understand all this is Atma only, when you say, this must be the perspective of the wise person, then, what is the nature of the reality? How you see the reality? Then Chandogya Upanishad is over. Now again, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad quotation. Apurvam, anaparam, anantaram, abahyam. Apurvam, anaparam, anantaram, abahyam. Every word reveals the Atma Swarupam. Apurvam, there's nothing beyond Atma, the consciousness, were causeless. Anaparam, there's nothing, no second thing other than Atma, the consciousness, therefore effectless. Apuram, anaparam. Anantaram, abahyam. So there's no cause which exists before the Atma. There's no effect which exists late after the Atma. Atma is free from cause and effect. Atma is distinct from cause and effect. At the same time, Atma is neither the cause nor the effect. There's no cause for the Atma, there's no effect after the Atma. So, apuram anaparam, anantaram abahyam. Even though Atma being all pervasive, Atma has no incident outside. Okay, therefore, na anantaram, na abahyam. Sorry. Anantaram abahyam, there's no interior thing for Atma, there's no exterior thing also for Atma. Anantaram abahyam. Na antaram na bahyam. Why? Is one indivisible, undivided, partless whole, all pervasive whole. Then, another Mundaka Upanishad quotation. Sabahyabhyantaraha hyajaha. So, sabahyaha sa abhyantaraha. So, this Atma is with incident outside means Atma has no incident outside, but Atma has incident outside, but Atma has no incident outside. What does it mean? What everything, sabahyaha sa abhyantaraha. What is inside also is Atma, what's outside also is Atma. Atma has no incident outside, but that which alone is incident outside is only Atma. Sabahyabhyantaraha hyajahahi ajaha. Atma is unborn. Then another quotation from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Ajaromaro mrito bhayaha. Ajaromaro mrito bhayaha. This is what you have to read. Ajaromaro mrito bhayaha. Ajaraha amaraha amrutaha abhayaha. What is that? So, see, when this ascertainment of this vastu, okay, the reality, then you see reality in this, understand, this must be the expression of the vision. Ajaraha, Atma is, which is, that which is free from decay, doesn't get old. Ajaraha doesn't age, free from decay. Jara yasya nasti saha ajaraha. Doesn't free from decay. Amaraha amrutaha. See, amaraha amrutaha. Both mean the same. Atma is free from immortality. So how should you take it now? Atma is free from relative destruction. Atma is free from absolute destruction also, which means Atma is absolutely free from absolutely indestructible. That is the meaning. What is relative destruction? Okay, at the time of Pralaya, what happens? Virat resolves in Hiranyagarbheshwara. Hiranyagarbha resolves in Antaryamishwara. Antaryamishwara resolves, still remains. Okay, again Antaryamishwara, again this with Hiranyagarbha and Virat becomes manifested. Which means the destruction of effects happen, leaving the cause behind. The cause remains, the effects alone become destroyed. It's called relative destruction. Atma is free from such relative destruction. Atma is free from absolute destruction also. Why? Because Atma is that which lends existence to the cause and the effect. Atma is distinct from cause and effect, but Atma is neither the cause nor the effect. Therefore, Atma is free from both types of distinctions. Therefore, Amaraha, Amrutaha, and Abhayaha. Bhayam, the phenomenon called here, doesn't exist in consciousness, the Atma. Abhayaha, ever fearless. Ajaraha, Amaraha, Amrutaha, Abhayaha. Yekaha Yeva Advayaha. Again, Yekaha Yeva Advayaha. Atma is, Atma alone is, only non-dual reality is Atma. So, all these beautiful quotations from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, mostly Mundaka Upanishad and Chandogya Upanishad. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, I tell you, gives you countless number of quotations, isn't it? Mainly from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Mundaka Upanishad and Chandogya Upanishad. All these quotes only reveal what should be the perspective of the person. When the ascertainment of the reality happens. In spite of seeing the world of plurality and duality, so what? What is only non-dual reality, Atma. Okay. When this is said, now the doubt comes. Oh, what is only non-dual reality? Which means, what about the projection? Everything is projection. There's only appearance of Atma, Brahma. Brahman alone is appearing in the form of the whole. Atma alone appearing in the form of the whole thing. Means, now the possible doubt should come. What is that? So, Shankara Bhagavata introduces the 19th karika. Let us see it here. Yadi, if Atma yekaha yeva iti nischayaha. Okay. If nischayaha, I mean what? If there is ascertainment of the reality as Atma alone is, then katam pranadibhi anantaihi bhavaihi etaihi samsara lakshanaihi vikalpitaha iti uchyate. Very clever question, okay. If Atma alone is, there's no second thing at all other than Atma, the only non-dual reality Atma, if there is this ascertainment is there, if there is ascertainment of the Atma being one secondless non-dual reality, then how is it said that pranadibhi anantaihi bhavehi etaihi? The word prana here should be taken as Ishvara. Prana, not physiological function prana, prana stands for one of the words used to mean Isha is pranaha. So prana adi bihi, the word adi means etc. Adi shabda stands for, you can say jiva. What is everything reduced to three words? Prana Ishvara. Adi stands for jivaha. Then ananta bhavaha, countless number of forms, objects, means jagat. Ishvaraha, jivaha, jagat. What are these three? Ishvara status, jiva status, and countless jagat constituted of countless number of objects. Internal, external, countless number of forms, names and functions. So by all of them, pranadibihi, adantaihi, bhavehi, etaihi, is experienced also. Samsara lakshanehi, which are endowed with the attributes of samsara. Oh, jivaha, jagat, ishvara, jiva, and jagat constituted of countless number of objects. Having the attributes of samsara, by them, vikalpitaha atma. Atma becomes superimposed upon. How is it said? If atma alone is there, then how that atma is superimposed upon by all these, all these objects, all these, Ishvaraha, Jivaha, universe, jagat constituted of countless number of objects having the attributes of samsara. So Ishvara also is within the realm of samsara only. Even though Ishvara is free, still Ishvara's status I'm talking about. We talk about what? There is Ishvara, the creator of jiva and jagat. There are jiva and countless number of jivas, there are countless number of objects. Also, so jivaha, jagati, ishvara. All that is here can be reduced to three words. Jivaha, jagat, ishvaraha. What are they? They're all objects, countless number of forms, names and functions. And they have samsara dharmaha, samsara lakshanaihi means samsara dharmaihi. They have samsara dharmas also. How atma becomes superimposed upon by these countless number of objects such as Ishvara, Jivaha, Jagat. Iti uchyate. Now, you want the answer? Listen. So before I go, see, what is this only secondless non-dual Atma? The Atma is changeless also. Atma is changeless, Atma is one, Atma is secondless, Atma is non-dual. Then, how can there be these attributes, undesirable samsara attributes, superimposed upon the Atma? What is the question here? Which means superimposition does happen. What is that which causes this superimposition? What is that which causes this superimposition? What is that which makes the rope appear as snake? What is that, which causes superimposition of these, upon the Atma? What causes superimposition? Then the question is, what is impetus? Isn't it there Maya besides Brahman? Why? Already in the 12th mantra, it was said, it is the Maya Shakti which alone contributes for what? Partial knowledge. thereby partial ignorance is there. And because through partial knowledge, Maya indirectly causes what? Vikalpa. Superimpositions, erroneous perceptions, misconceptions. Maya does not intend to cause. Okay? That's the nature of Maya. Becomes manifest as partial knowledge. So partial ignorance being there, like Manda Andhakara, Vikalpas are happening naturally. Everything is natural here. It was always said, but now this Purapakshi, oh, isn't it there Maya besides Brahman? Of course there is Maya, but not besides Brahman. Maya is inseparable power of reality, Atma. Maya and here the knowing power and the abstract formless reality are not two. Sun and his illumining power are not two. Fire and its burning power are not two. So abstract formless reality and its knowing power, shouldn't even say and. No way. And means separable. Okay. Reality, abstract formless attributeless reality with its knowing power, knowing nature. Okay. And not two. Therefore what? The abstract formless reality alone is satyam. Abstract formless reality implied by the term Atma or Brahman alone is satyam. The power, inseparable power of reality also, meant by the term Mula Vidya or Avidmaya, has no independent existence. Inseparable. Doesn't exist independently. Therefore it is mithya. Therefore not countable. Of course the Maya causes. Very nice, isn't it? Very clear. So, we are going to see that now.
Pranadibhiranantaischa.
19th Karikam reading, page number 375.
Pranadibhiranantaischa, bhavairetairvikalpitaha, māyeśa tasya devasya, yaya sammohita svayam, pranadibhiranantaischa, bhavairetairvikalpitaha, māyeśa tasya devasya, yaya sammohita svayam.
We have two places that are different. This is the pranadibhiranam taischa. It says with us, and the yam instead of yasha.
Pranadibhiranantaischa, you have? Yeah. I am reading phonologist's book, reading English transliteration. That's okay, Samji. The cha and the tu doesn't make big difference. There are just cha means and tu means doesn't make just adjust the meter something they add.
Instead of yayasa, we have yaya.
Okay.
You say yaya sammohitaha.
Yeah. Sammohitaha. Yeah. Yaya sammohitaha. Yeah. Sammohitaha. Make it sammohitaha. Yes. Much easier, Swamiji. See, mohitaha deluded, participle. Sammohitaha is what? Very well deluded. Undoubtedly deluded. Okay, here, very very beautiful thing. See, what he says, only Atma means, who must be the deluded? Atma only. Some deluded, there is deluded being here means, Atma, who must be deluded? Deluded also must be Atma. Atma is not the deluded. The deluded is definitely Atma. Clear mind also is Atma. Deluded is also Atma. But here the beauty is Atma doesn't get deluded. As though Atma himself is deluded. As though Atma himself is deluded. By what? By his own power. The Maya is very powerful, no? Amazing. Okay. How powerful Maya? Maya, any wonder, all wonders beyond imaginations are caused by Maya only. No doubt, any wonder, all wonders beyond imaginations are all because of Maya only. Of course, Maya is, though Maya is still, there is an order in the Vikalpas. Okay? Maya contributes for the rising of knowledge, partial knowledge. Thereby, there is also partial ignorance. And so Maya, through the ignorance, indirectly contributes for the Vikalpas. So there is an order in all the Vikalpas. Any Vikalpa happens, there is order. So here this Vikalpas are what? All Vikalpas have samsara attributes. Samsara dharmaha. So, Ishwaraha, Jeevaha, Jagat. So, now the question is, okay. Pranadibhi anantaihi bhavehi etaihi vikalpitaha. See, same Shankar Bhagavatpada already used the first line of Karika in his commentary, in his introduction to this Karika. See, Atma Vikalpitaha, who is superimposed upon, isn't it? All the errors, okay? Vikalpitaha, misconceptions, who is misconceived now? Okay? Misconceptions of the Atma only. Atma is Vikalpitaha. How? Pranadibhi anantaihi bhavaihi. Etaihi bhavaihi. Atma is superimposed upon, okay, Atma is erroneously perceived it to be all these objects, all these bhavas, all these vikalpas in terms of Ishwaraha, Jeevaha, Jagat, constituted of countless number of objects. So who is the one who causes this vikalpa? Such a question is possible. So he says, Tasya Devasya Maya Yesha. Yesha Tasya Devasya Maya. The beautiful here, the word Devaha is again is used by Acharya, Gaudapada Acharya. Atma is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, Atma is said to be of the nature of self-effulgence. The self-effulgent Atma. Self-evident, self-revealing, self-effulgent, self-revealing, self-evident reality Atma. Because it's of the nature of consciousness. It's of the nature of knowing. Atma is meant by the word Devaha. So, Tasya Devasya Yesha Maya. this Maya, which contributes for the vikalpas, projection, okay, these projections, this Maya which contributes for the misconceptions, errors, through ignorance, doesn't belong to anybody, okay. Maya is of this self-effulgent Atma only. Maya, as Maya, Yesha, Tasya Devasya. Tasya Devasya Maya, Yesha. Who this Maya is? This Anadi, Avidya, Mula Vidya, Maya, this amazing power. Maya. Inexplicable, Anirvachaniya Maya. Inexplicable power. You can't say she is not, it is not there. You can't say it is there also. Because no independent existence. There is knowing power. And the power is of this abstract formless reality only. That's why, Yesha Maya Tasya Devasya. Inexplicable knowing power is of this self-effulgent, self-evident, self-revealing reality implied by the term Atma. Because it's of the nature of consciousness. Okay. And Yaya, it is because of this Maya alone, one's own power alone. Swayam sammohitaha Atma. Swayam Atma himself as though deluded. Yeah, because of this power alone, by which power alone? By one's own power, Atma is as though deluded. Not really deluded. Why? Atma is of the nature of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Delusion is a phenomenon which enjoys existence in the consciousness. Consciousness does not have delusion. Consciousness does not become deluded. That's why here, because of this one's own power, Maya, Atma the Devaha, as though deluded. Atma Devaha is as though deluded. So what does it mean here? Maya, the knowing power is inseparable from the Atma. Therefore, Atma is Satyam. Okay, this abstract formless reality, all pervasive reality, implied by the term Atma is Satyam. The knowing power doesn't exist independently outside of the Atma, so it is Mithya. But who can say what? Atma alone is, with his knowing power, manifested as the universe. How should you say? This is how you must say. Atma alone is here, okay, having the knowing power manifested in the form of Jagat. Whole Jagat is Jnana Shakti. Knowing power alone is in the form of time, space. All the forms, names and functions which exist within the realm of time and space, which are experienced internally and externally. I see it very beautiful. Do you see this? Okay. So, Yesha Tasya Devasya Maya Yaya Swayam Sammohitaha. Therefore now, because why we have talked about it, there is a group of people known as Advaita Ekadeshinaha. Advaita Ekadeshinaha means, they say yes, Atma is now one, non-dual, but Atma's Maya is also there, no? Maya is there. How can it be non-dual? And also Visishtadvaita system also, they look at Atma as one, Maya as a separate entity. They two for them. Which means, Maya is not a second, Maya is, okay, for them, consciousness, the abstract reality Atma and Maya, two things. But what does Shankaracharya say here? What does he say? What does Gaudapacharya say? A Maya is. Maya is the inseparable Tasya Devasya Maya. Maya is of the Atma. Knowing person of the Atma, which is inseparable. It cannot be counted as a parallel reality. Maya cannot be counted as a parallel reality. It is not countable as a second thing because it has no independent existence. For anything to be counted as a second thing, it must have independent existence. When you see the fire, you can't deny the fact that the fire is endowed with the burning power. But can you say there are two things? There's burning power is also there. We touch the fire. What burns your finger? Fire will say, I did not touch, I did not burn your finger. You alone burned. No, the burning power burned. Understand? Burning power burnt the finger means fire burnt the finger. Why? Not separable. So Maya is inseparable, not countable second parallel reality. Therefore, Maya, when the power remains unmanifested, Jagat disappeared. Power becomes manifested, whole Jagat shines. Okay? Maya manifested is the Jagat, Jagat unmanifest is Maya. So, never inseparable from the Atma. So Atma alone was there without a second thing. Ekamev advitiyam asit. Now Atma alone is now also. What is the only difference? Now Atma alone was there before Sadeva Saumya Idamagra asit. Ekamev advitiyam. One alone, Atma alone was there secondlessly, non-dually. Means, with his power unmanifested as one. The same Atma now has expanded back as what? The whole Jagat Atma alone is there. With his power manifested. Okay? Difference is what? Difference is only in the power being manifested, the power being unmanifested. Manifested power in the form of Jagat is also inseparable from Atma. The Atma alone is. Unmanifest power also is inseparable from Atma. Atma alone was there. Atma alone was there. Atma alone is here. Very nice. Now let's see the Bhashyam. Mayesha tasya atmanaha devasya. So Shankaracharya adds one more word. Atmanaha dev. Who is this devaha? Atma. So, yesha, maya, yesha, tasya, atmanaha devasya. So maya is of that self-effulgent Atma. Yatha, he gives one example here. Yatha, maya vina vishita maya, gaganam, yatha, maya vina vishita maya, gaganam, ati vimalam, kusmitaihi, sapalashaihi, tarubihi, akinam iva karoti, tatha, Yamapi Devasya Maya Yaya Ayam Swayam. Okay, in the commentary Yayayam comes. Yayayam Swayamapi Mohitaha Iva Mohitaha Bhavati. Mohitaha Iva Mohitaha Bhavati. What he says? Yatha Maya Vina Vihita Maya. The illusory, the program, the magic show, Maya, presented by, showed by the magician. What does he do? This magician's magic skill does what? Ati vimalam gaganam. Ati vimalam gaganam. Absolutely clear sky. Ati vimalam, absolutely clear sky, it makes the absolutely clear sky as the one akirnam iva karoti, makes this absolutely clear sky as if it is spread with, akirnam iva, spread with, filled with, what? Tarubihi trees. Taruhu means tree. Filled with trees, not ordinary trees. Trees, sapalashehi kusumitaihi. Kusumam means flower, palasha means leaf. Sapalashehi kusumaihi tarubihi akirnam iva karoti. He makes this bright, really absolutely clear sky appear to be having the trees filled with green leaves and colorful flowers. Who makes it show? Magician. Magician's Maya. Magician's this, the magic skill makes this completely open space appear to be having the trees filled with flowers and leaves. Okay, but we know what? It is not real. It is not unreal also, because you are seeing it for some time. Tatha, exactly in the same way, Yamapi Devasya Maya, this inexplicable, inexplicable wonderful power, Bhagavan's Maya Shakti also, Yam Swayamapi Mohitaha Iva, Mohitaha Iva, Mohitaha Iva, Mohitaha Bhavati. Ayam Mohitaheva Bhavati. Your Atma himself becomes deluded by this Maya, as it were. As though deluded. Then there is a verse. Bhagavan, the 14th or 7th chapter. Remember that? Mama Maya Duratyaya. Isn't it? Bhagavan himself says, Mama Maya Duratyaya. It is not easily, my Maya power, Shakti, cannot be overcome easily, can be crossed easily. The difficulty alone can be crossed. Iti Uktam. Okay, with this, the 19th, all the karikas are over. Now, Gaudapada Acharya, anyway, there are 36 conditions, 36 views are there, okay, of reality. All of them have their own limitations, and they are people of, people holding on to their own different theories of creation. First of all, they accept, they think the world is real. Then the world has been created. There's a creator. There's a reality. Okay. And therefore, they are having their own theories of creation. And they express their views, contentions. Very, very, very ordinary, basic, thinking also is involved here. So 36 views of reality are there. So, Gaudapada Acharya thought it is not worth simply describing, explaining, arguing, not all worth sparing time for them. But still, he still wants to present. He says, these are all the people. See, now, on what basis he says, now you are convinced of the fact, what is only Atma. So, others' views need not be understood. You don't need to argue. But no, these views are there. He simply enumerates the list of the different views of different thinkers. 36 views. Okay. So, Shankar Bhagavatpada also does not bother to write any commentary on it, because he thought it is not worth writing any commentary on these views. So, you have to simply read them. Understand what are those 36 views are. Okay? Okay.
प्राण इति प्राणविदो भूतानीति च तद्विदः प्राण इति प्राणविदो भूतानीति च तद्विदः गुणा इति गुणविदस्तत्त्वानीति च तद्विदः गुणा इति गुणविदस्तत्त्वानीति च तद्विदः
See, there are four vadas presented here. Pranavadaha, Bhutavadaha, Gunavadaha, Tattvavadaha. In this 20th Karika, four vadas or four views are mentioned. Four contentions, four views of the reality of people of four different schools are mentioned here. Okay. What is Pranavadaha? See, Pranaha literally means physiological function. But here Pranaha, as I told you already, Pranaha means Ishwaraha. Specifically, Pranaha means Samashti Pranaha. Samashti Pranaha means a total Prana. Means Sutratma. Who is Sutratma? Hiranyagarbha. The word Pranaha is Hiranyagarbha. And Pranavidaha means people who consider Hiranyagarbha as the ultimate reality. They don't even go to Karaneshwara. Okay? They simply state Hiranyagarbha is the ultimate reality. And who are the people? We can say again. Again, this Ekadeshis we can say. And also, Vaiseshikaha. Vaiseshikas of the people of Vaiseshika school of thought are of the strong view that Hiranyagarbha is the ultimate reality. Because Hiranyagarbha has created this universe. And to arrive at this conclusion, what's the pramanam for them? Only reasoning. They use only logic as the pramanam to arrive at this conclusion. Therefore, we should remember, whatever is established by the logic definitely can be contradicted. But whatever Shastram establishes cannot be contradicted. Because there should not be any logical error. Okay, so here what we say, this Hiranyagarbha is also, Hiranyagarbha has dependent existence. Hiranyagarbha is dependent on Antaryamishwara for existence. Okay, no independent existence. So he has simply nefit what? It's only Hiranyagarbha is mithya because no independent existence. Which means Hiranyagarbha has no self-existence. Independent. Swataha na siddha means Hiranyagarbha has no self-existence. Independent existence. Therefore, mithya. The view is wrong. Okay, first Pranavadaha. Quickly we'll go. Bhutani iti cha tadvidaha. So people who see the elements. Everything is element here. Of course, a certain degree of effort is there on their part, but they're not able to go beyond that. They hold on to this Bhutavadaha. Means all these basic elements. Okay, everything is there is elements only. So the simple thinkers who take these elements to be the reality, ultimate reality. And but here they leave the space also. Because they do not consider space. They leave the space, only they take four elements. Okay? Water, earth, fire, and air. These four elements alone for them constitute the absolute reality for them. Because everything is made of what? Elements only. Now, the question is, we don't need real present. Elements are inert. What we experience in the world is what? We are experiencing the sentient universe. There's all sentience here, isn't it? How can the inert elements become, be here? Themselves become the objects. There definitely the sentient being must be involved for the inert elements to become the sentient beings, and also even to be in the order. Therefore, the view is also not correct. This one is negated, which means even though objects are all elemental objects, the whole jagat, everything is in a proper order. For everything to be presented methodically, to be here, there must be a sentient being other than the elements. But they do not see that. Therefore, their view is wrong. Okay, next we can say, Gunaha iti, Gunavadaha, Gunavadaha. What Gunavadaha? No, this Gunavadaha, they take this, this Prakriti, as a Prakriti. Prakriti is also called Maya, we say Maya. Prakriti, they say called Pradhanam. And the Prakriti, otherwise called Pradhanam, is constituted of three Gunas. Sattva Gunaha, Rajo Gunaha, Tamo Gunaha. What they say, mainly, this Gunava, people who hold on to this view that Gunas, the Tattva Gunaha, Rajo Gunaha, Tamo Gunaha, three Gunas of the Prakriti form the absolute reality for them, ultimate truth for them. Gunas are the ultimate truth. Why? Because when these Gunas remain in equilibrium as one Pradhanam or Prakriti, then there is no universe. When the Gunas become, the equilibrium of the Gunas become disturbed, then there is universe. Therefore, the Gunas are the ultimate reality. But we have to ask, how does the disturbance takes place on the part of these Gunas? The equilibrium of the Gunas, how does it become disturbed? That question comes, and they say there's a Purushas. And according to these people, this Gunavadinaha, Gunavadis, there are many Purushas. One Pradhanam, the many Purushas. Yeah. So, many Purushas are there. Of course, many Purushas means Sankhyas only. Okay? Sankhyas. So, mainly Gunavadinaha Sankhyas. Sankhya philosophers. But still what they say, even though they say there are many Purushas who contribute for the disturbance of the equilibrium of the Gunas, but still they say they take only Gunas as the ultimate reality. They don't say anything about the Purushas. And these people also, Nirishwara Vadinaha, Anishwara Vadinaha, according to this, no Ishwara. So some other people that they said two Sankhyas are two groups, okay? Anishwara Vadinaha and Seshwara Vadinaha. A group of Sankhyas accept Ishwara, a group of Sankhyas do not accept Ishwara. So they say what? So Ishwara. Even they bring in Ishwara, still there's a big difference. Ishwara is there, Purushas are there. What happened to them? Nothing. Gunas are the, even though Ishwara is there, even though Purushas are there, they only cause the equilibrium, they disturb the equilibrium of the Gunas, but Gunas alone become the universe. Therefore, Gunas are the ultimate reality. We are not elaborating because Gunavadinaha. Then, Tattvani iti Tattvavidaha. We have next one more thing. So for Sankhyas, whether they're Anishwaras or Seshwaraha, accept Ishwara or do not accept Ishwara, all of them are the same view that Pradhanam, Prakriti, Gunas alone form the ultimate reality. So we say here, they're also negated. Their view is also refuted. Come on, we don't need to waste time on this. That is the expression of Gaudapadacharya's heart. Tattvani. See, Tattvavadaha is the fourth vada. Okay. According to this order. Tattvavadaha means these Tattvavadinaha, the people who are of this view that the Tattvas are the reality. Three principles form the reality. Who are they? They are known as Shaivaha. Shaivaha, Shiva Bhaktaha. They call themselves Shiva Bhaktaha, Shaivaha. And then, what are three principles, three tattvas? According to them, Pashuhu, Patihi, Pashaha. Pashu, Pati, Pasha. So here, the Pashuhu body, Pashaha is ignorance. Pashuhu, Pashaha, then Patihi is Lord Shiva. Okay. The Atma is different. Atma is different here. So ignorance ties the body with samsara. This Pashaha ties the body with samsara. And who is this of artist there? And Patihi, so Shiva is not the Atma. So Shiva is different from Atma. Which means, what is Shiva then? The Lord, according to them, is not, must be not. If Lord is separate from Atma, Atma is the consciousness, the Lord must be what then? Inert. So this Lord, who is himself bound by limitations, cannot liberate. So their view is also not acceptable. So here Shiva is a different entity. Because what becomes objectifiable? Different, if different from Atma means what? Objectifiable. Objectifiable means Shiva is also subject to limitations. So Shiva, who is subject to limitations, cannot liberate the Jiva, liberate the Atma, the body, isn't it, from bondage. So liberation is not possible. Which means, the Shiva, Ishvara himself is superimposed upon the Atma. It's not, okay, when you say Ishvara is separate from Atma, that's all. You don't need to anymore see the timing there. Don't need to be with that. That's the idea here. Therefore, that is also resolved. This is how the people of different views have come to the wrong conclusions using reasoning as the pramanam. Only reasoning. So reasoning should be used, logic must be used only to support what has been already revealed by the Shastra. Okay. Next we have the next verse, next karika. Padaha iti pada vidaha. Padaha iti pada vidaha. Vishaya iti tadvidaha. Vishaya iti tadvidaha. Loka iti loka vidaha. Loka iti loka vidaha. Deva iti chatadvidaha. Deva iti chatadvidaha. Now, pada vidaha means or pada vadaha, then vishayavadaha, lokavadaha, devavadaha. You can say that you take the words, add the word vadaha. So the four different views are again mentioned here. So padaha means immediately must go, must remember what? Mandukya Upanishad. So according to Padavidaha, the people who of this view, according to them, there are only three padas. Okay. Pratama, Dvitiya, Tritiya padas are real. Okay. Three padas are real. So what now? Three padas are parts of Atma. In fact, these three padas are mentioned in the Upanishad only for the purpose of meditation. Atma has no parts. Atma is one indivisible, undivided, partless whole. But they say these three paths are parts of Atma. And these three paths alone are all real. Therefore, and actually according to them, if they say Atma is of this, Atma is has these three paths as parts means, Atma is the part of these three paths means, what they mean is, here they're all together as one, put together. Okay? Anything put together is subject to get fall apart. It means mithya. It cannot be satyam. Therefore, their view also is not correct. Then what is the purpose of presenting these three padas? Ishvara upasanam. Okay? Prathama pada, dvitiya pada, tritiya pada. They're all presented as manifestations of Ishvara just for us to discipline the mind to use them for meditation alone, they are mentioned. What has been presented as the presented for the discipline of meditation themselves should not be taken as the ultimate. So the pada, three padas are mithya padas are reality for them, satyam for them. So this is the padavadaha. This is the view of the people, padavadis. Okay. Now, the same 21st verse, we have vishayavadaha. Sixth view. Vishayavadaha. Vishayavadaha. Vishayaha means object of knowledge. Who can be this Vishayavadinaha? Who think all the objects of experience are real? Charvakas. Vishaya means Charvaka. You have to connect always. So, even people of this very ultra-modern people also, now for them, objects of enjoyment are real. Why? Enjoyment of pleasures is the very purpose of life. Therefore, but what they fail to see is the so-called objects cannot have existence independently if there is no subject of knowledge. The experienced objects are mistaken to be the reality. They stop there itself. They do not see beyond that. They do not even see the fact that there must be experiencer without whose presence these objects are not. This is their limitation. Now all the objects are subject to change and destruction. Therefore definitely they cannot be the reality. This is the wrong view. Okay, next. Seventh view. Lokavadaha. Okay. Lokavadaha. See, Lokavadaha means the higher worlds. At least in Veda Shastram, 14 worlds are discussed. Leave the lower lokas, higher lokas. Seven. Above the bhuloka, there are six above. And there are people, of course, people of all cultures, people of various cultures in the world are of the strong view there's a heaven above. And going to heaven is the ultimate. Heaven is the ultimate reality. So going to heaven is the ultimate accomplishment also. So even in Sanatana Dharma, even in among Hindus, there's a view. I mean, going to Kailasa, going to Swarga, going to Vaikuntham is the ultimate for them. They're very strong view. They have that very strong view of going to higher loka is the ultimate accomplishment. Ultimate reality is the higher lokas. Even though they are non-verifiable matter for belief, higher lokas are not available for verification. And the lokas, of course, are mentioned in the Shastram itself. Therefore, we do not deny the existence of the worlds. We cannot disprove the existence of the heaven. Nor can we prove the existence of the heaven, higher lokas. Still the lokas. Lokas, the very word loka means what? Object of knowledge. Object of experience. And the lokas also definitely what? It's a karma phalam. So karma itself is time bound. Accessories used for karma are time bound. Your karma phalam also must be time bound. Being time bound, how can it be taken as the absolute reality? Therefore, this is lokas, this lokavadinaha, who take loka as the ultimate, they're also wrong in their view. Okay, next. Devavadaha. This is the eighth view. Eighth view is Devavadaha. So, Devas, see there are many in the Veda Shastra itself, in the Karma Kanda of the Veda, the many Devatas described. And natural phenomena described here as Devas. And even Devas also sometimes are said, looked upon as exalted Jivas. And such as Indraha, Vayuhu, Agnihi, okay, all of them are, these Devas are real for some people. Why? Because when people perform rituals, they have to offer oblations to the performance rituals only to these Devas. As a result of offering oblations to these invisible Devas, they do enjoy the benefits of offering oblations to the Devas. Oh, if I do Devata Aradhanam, I really get benefit. Okay. So they do not see, of course, Devatas are within the realm of the order. Worship, Devata Aradhanam, performance of a ritual, a Vedic ritual, offering oblations, worship is an action, it does produce result. Devatas do bless, no doubt about it. But still, Devatas are time bound. And whatever results they gain, as a result of invoking the grace of Devatas, also time bound. It's very beautiful to involve oneself in worship. Worship, in the performing rituals, offering oblations, invoking the grace of Devatas, acknowledging contribution of Devatas is all very, very important, beautiful, wonderful, because this is how the individuals can grow, enhance their perception, enhance their vision. They can grow mentally. So worship is a discipline prescribed by the Shastram for emotional maturity, for also preparation for meditation also. So, but what happens? These Devas, because people enjoy the benefits when they perform rituals, offer oblations to Devas, some of them hold on, oh, let me perform ritual, let me offer oblations to these Devatas, and when a Devata gives me whatever I want, Devata is real. Devata is not unreal, but Devata is also mithya. Devata is not absolute reality. But these people hold on to the view that Devas are absolute reality. There are many Devas, okay? Therefore, this is called Devavadaha, eighth view. Now, we'll go to 22nd verse, Karika.
Veda iti Veda vidaha, Veda iti veda vidaha, yajna iti tadvidaha, yajna iti cha tadvidaha, bhokteti cha bhoktru vidaha, bhoktreti cha bhoktru vidaha, bhojyam iti cha tadvidaha, bhojyam iti cha tadvidaha, veda iti veda iti veda vidaha, veda iti veda vidaha, yajna iti cha tadvidaha, yajna iti cha tadvidaha. See, if I'm breaking now, if I'm not breaking, veda iti veda vido, yajna iti cha tadvidaha. I'm breaking for sake of, okay? Veda iti cha veda iti veda vidaha, iti veda vidaha, yajna iti cha tadvidaha, yajna iti cha tadvidaha. Bhokteti cha bhoktru vidaha, bhokteti cha bhoktru vidaha, bhojyam iti cha tadvidaha, bhojyam iti cha tadvidaha. Again four vadas. He wants to really quickly say that. Okay, quickly finish up. Just mentions. See, so people are of so many views. Because, why? They're all of wrong conclusions. Okay? Okay. But this Vedaha, now Vedavadaha, 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 so who are these people? Mimamsakaha. Veda means Mimamsakaha. The Vaidikaha accept Veda Shastram as the Pramanam, but they love only the most voluminous portion of the Veda. They ignore the last few pages of the Veda Shastram. Okay, karma upasana kandas for them very important. Karma Shastram of the Veda is very important for them. Mimamsakaha, they say the Veda Shastram is the ultimate for them. Veda is the ultimate reality. So Veda Shastram, which is a means of knowledge of the reality, the means of knowledge of the reality is mistaken to be the ultimate reality. Why? They're not going to the end portion of the Veda. They're stuck with the only karma kanda of the Veda. Okay? And these Vimamsakaha also Anishwara Vadinaha. Even though they accept their Vaidikaha, accept the karma kanda of the Veda, but they do not accept Ishwara. What is, why Veda is important for them? Because the mantras are important for them. Mantras, why? Chant the mantra, then invoke the devatas. Devatas can't be param. You have to chant the mantras. Use the mantras. So, mantras can bring the devatas' grace. Mantras can bring them the results of actions. Mantras can do anything. Mantras can do anything. Everything. Therefore, these words of the Vedashastram are real. The question comes, the words of the Vedashastram are real, or meanings of the words of the Vedashastram are real? Which is real? For them, the mantras are real. If the words of the Vedashastram, any word, not only Vaidika Shabdaha, not only the words of the Veda Shastram, even Laukika Shabdaha, even the mundane world, any word can become reality. But meaning of the mantras means also, no, for them, the mantras. So, even if they say, okay, meanings of the mantras are important, if they say also, now the question is what? What is the subject matter revealed by the words of the Veda as the meaning of the Veda? What is the subject matter revealed by the Veda as the meaning of the words. Okay. And they are not interested. Why? Because karma is important for them. Chant a mantra, know the know-how of ritual through the mantra, perform your ritual, chant the mantra, enjoy the results. Therefore, Veda is the ultimate. And here you have to understand, Veda itself, what is Veda? Of course, Veda is said to be timeless Shastram. How timeless Veda is? It is perennially eternal, not absolutely eternal. Veda Shastram is said to be timeless Shastram because it's perennially eternal, it is not absolutely eternal. What is absolutely eternal is only this abstract formless reality, the source of all knowledge. Veda also is not outside of the knowing power of Atma. Isn't it? So, this, of course, it's highly praised in the Upanishads also as Veda has pravaha nityatvam. It has perennial eternity. Of course, Veda, we have tremendous reverence for Veda Shastram. Great reverence for Veda Shastram as a Pramana Grantaha, no doubt. But we do not take the means of knowledge of the truth as the ultimate. Okay. In Indian systems, Sikhs have such view. Guru Bani, the Guru Granth, that is ultimate. Now, next one more thing is what? Yajnavadaha. Mimamsakaha only, but in another slightly different, okay? Yajnavadaha. Specifically, there were great sages. And one such a great sage was Bodhayanaha. They're all great sages, very disciplined, committed. But still, even such sages like Bodhayana, and there are some people, okay, were of this very strong view, rituals form the ultimate reality. Yajnavadaha. See, Shastram, Veda Shastram prescribes rituals in the Karma Kanda. For an individual to pursue Arthakama Dharmas for living his life. By pursuing Arthakama Dharmas through this performance of rituals, one can enjoy Arthakama Dharmas, use them for living his life. While using the Arthakama Dharmas while living in this world, he can also learn the limitations of Arthakama Dharmas. So you have to make use of Arthakama Dharmas in order to know the limitation. How long, what it can give, what it cannot give. What is the advantage of Arthakamas? What are the advantages of Arthakamas? What are the limitations? What they can give, what they cannot give. Hard one has to have. So Shastram prescribes the karma in the Karma Kanda, so many rituals for people to pursue Arthakama, to enjoy Arthakamas, Arthakama Dharmas. Time bound ends. But they are required for living this life. While living this life, enjoying, making use of Arthakama Dharmas, simultaneously preparing their mind for, they have to prepare their mind for ultimate jnanam. Ultimate knowledge of the ultimate truth. So they are prescribed. So because the yajnas help them accomplish Arthakama Dharmas, they cannot become the ultimate reality. So they think, and then again, any yajna is dependent on 80 accessories. These accessories now we have 8. object, karta, performer, object of action, instrument of action, purpose of action, locus of action. Apart from that, for ritvik, etc., ritual is dependent on many aspects. How can a simple ritual not give a great ritual also? Whatever the great result one can accomplish also by performing ritual, still they are not, they are all mithya. Therefore, Yajna Madaha is refuted. Gaudapacha does not spend this much time. Okay, Shankarabhupada does not care. Anandagiri Mahodaya only gives this information, so I am just sharing with you those things. Okay. Now next, we have Bhoktruvadaha. Bhokta. See, Bhoktru is Rikarantaha Pullingaha Bhoktru Shabdaha. In our case, Bhokta. Bhokta means enjoyer. Bhoktruvada. Enjoyer is the reality. Without enjoyment, what can be enjoyed? Where is the enjoyment? Enjoyment is possible. Okay, objects become enjoyed only when there's a bhokta. So bhokta is the reality. Bhoktruvadaha. Which means bhoktrutvam is an attribute superimposed upon the Atma. It is mithya, we understand. But here who are these people? Again, Sankhyaha. Sankhyaha, no, according to Sankhyaha, Atma is the Bhokta. Whole in Vedanta Shastra, we say, Atma is free from Bhoktrutvam, Atma is not the enjoyer. Even though the enjoyer is Atma. But they hold on to the view, Atma is Bhokta. Atma is Bhokta enjoyer, but Atma is not the Karta. Who says this? Sankhya philosopher says this. Atma is merely Bhokta, but not the Karta. So, Bhoktutum, okay, enjoyership is the nature of the Atma. Why Atma is the Bhokta? Because enjoyment is nature of the Atma. Enjoyership is the nature of the Atma. Therefore, here what is the answer? The Bhokta has no independent existence again. For Atma to have the status of being the Bhokta, he must enjoy. To enjoy, depend on what? Objects of enjoyment. Dependence comes means cannot be the reality. Mithya only. Anything which has dependent existence is mithya. Atma is not the Bhokta, we know very well. But according to Sankhya philosopher, Atma who is not the Karta is the Bhokta. And that Atma as the Bhokta is the ultimate reality. So Bhokta is real for him. But here we have to say, Atma to be the Bhokta. Atma is not the Bhokta. If at all you accept his view that Atma is the Bhokta, to be a Bhokta, one is dependent on the objects of enjoyment. Being dependent, then Bhokta becomes mithya. Therefore, how can you take Bhokta as the reality? These are negated. Again, any Bhokta is time bound also. We don't need to elaborate on all these things. But I'm just saying, whatever Gaudapadachari Anandagiri says in his Tika. Okay. Again, Bhoktutvam is not the nature of the Atma. Diagonally opposite, he says, Abhoktutvam is the nature of the Atma. But his Bhoktutvam is the nature of the Atma. One more thing. Bhojyavadaha. One more vada we'll see and we'll stop. With this we'll stop. Bhojyavadaha. Bhojyam is what? object of enjoyment. Now you can easily make out. Object of enjoyment means you can make out who is the person, who is of the view. Charvaka. So, see, already we understand. Vishayaha, see, Vishayavadaha, Bhojyavadaha. What's the difference? Vishayavadaha means the objects are reality for them. Charvakas. Bhojya means objects of enjoyment. Not all the objects. Objects of enjoyment are real. The ultimate reality. Again, there are countless number of objects of enjoyment. So here the question comes. There are countless number of objects of enjoyment. Okay. Bhojyaha or bhojyani, you can say. So many. So which object of enjoyment is specifically the reality or all the objects of enjoyment? What is enjoyable for you is not enjoyable for me. Reality must be the same for all, isn't it? So which object of enjoyment is real? Again, this, if you say, which part of the object is enjoyable? If you say coconut, which part of coconut is enjoyable? And what is on the top? Or what is on the inside? Or the water? Whichever. Again, this view has no, really does, it's not worth sparing time for this, analyzing this view. So this is Bhojyavadaha. I think we'll stop here. Sukshmaiti, we'll come back and see it. Anyway, because Sukshmavadaha, Sthulavadaha, Murtavadaha, we'll see all this. But you can relax for some time. You know why? Until the 28th Karika, Shankara Bhagavatpada does not even write anything about any commentary on these verses. No, even Gaudapada Acharya does not any present his arguments proving that they're wrong. Because already what is absolute reality has been very clearly analyzed and presented logically also. So now, why should we waste our time in simply refuting them? He just mentions them, just know for information, I'm presenting them. These are all the people having their own wrong conclusions. Okay. How vikalpas are not possible if enquiry also is not appropriate enquiry. Inappropriate enquiry can lead to vikalpas. That to point out one small fact, he presents all their views, just mentions them. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. What is this main teaching? Ascertainment of the reality itself is enough for all the vikalpas to be resolved. No second effort is required.